Welcome back. You are halfway done. Today, we're exploring how businesses are structured and how these structures help them function effectively in a dynamic world. Just like the human body has organs and systems that work together, businesses have departments and teams that must be organized to thrive. In 1 Corinthians 12:14, the Apostle Paul reminds us, "For the body is not one member, but many." This verse beautifully illustrates the importance of structure and unity in any organization. It doesn't matter if you are the janitor or the CEO of a company. You are important to that company. If not, you would not be there. So let's begin with the basics. Traditional organizational structures. These include functional, product, process, customer, geographic departmentalization. Each method groups employees based on different criteria to improve efficiency and clarity. I've been in many different types of organizations. Most of what I find is functional or matrix type organizations. So now that we understand how traditional structures, what some are, let's explore how companies adapt these modern challenges to be more flexible approaches, right? So contemporary structures like a matrix model combine functional and product-based approaches, allowing for more dynamic collaborations. You still have your functional area where you report to a manager, but now you may be matrixed over to a product to where you work for a different manager at the time. So you have multiple reporting structures, which can cause confusion. All right, there's committee structures, on the other hand, and they distribute authority among groups rather than individuals. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor." This verse supports the idea that collaboration often leads to better outcomes. Right? If I'm in a room by myself, I can only have a limited amount of creativity. But if I get two or three in there with me, that synergy increases collaboration and just makes it that much more enjoyable and can help us further the company and the work that we're doing. But what if we go beyond departments or committees? Let's look at how teams are transforming the workplace. Teams are the heartbeat of the modern organization, right? Whether you're problem solving, self-managed, or cross-functional, teams bring diverse skills together to achieve a common goal. High-performing teams are built on trust, communication, and a shared purpose. With teams in place, how do we ensure that everyone knows their roles and responsibilities? Well, that's where authority and hierarchy come in. Again, with matrixed organizations, it can sometimes be a little convoluted, so it's very important that managers express to their employees the expectations that they have for them. Organizations use hierarchies to define who reports to who. This includes concepts like chains of command, span of control, and delegation. These tools help maintain order and accountability, and also provide the employee with the structure when they have issues of who to report to. So now that we've built the structure, how do we decide who makes decisions? Let's explore centralization and decentralization. So centralized organizations concentrate their decision-making at the top, right? While decentralized organizations empower lower levels of leaders to make decisions. Right, you may have heard, like, let's push that decision down the ladder, right? That's kind of decentralizing an organization. Each has its own benefits depending on the size, right, complexity, and the goals. Starting out in a business, it may be very centralized, where you have one or two people that pretty much make all the decisions for that organization. But as the organization grows, you need to become more decentralized and start pushing those decisions down, or your business is going to get bogged down. Finally, let's look at how trends like re-engineering, virtual teams, and outsources are reshaping organizational design. So today's businesses are embracing virtual corporations and outsourcing and global mergers. These trends demand agility and innovation. Right, virtual teams, for example, allow companies to tap into global talent without geographic restraints. I worked for a company to where we had people all across the United States. I was based on the East Coast. I had somebody that was based in San Diego. But there's companies out there. For instance, a buddy that I worked with, he was based in New York. His headquarters was in Switzerland. So that is huge globalization. They had people around the world, which again brings its own sorts of constraints. One final thought before we discuss human resources. Just as a well-built house needs a solid foundation, a successful business needs a thoughtful structure. Whether traditional or modern, the goal is the same: to serve people, fulfill a mission, and glorify God through excellence. So now let's discuss and focus on one of the most vital aspects of any organization, and that's its people. Human resource management is about more than hiring and firing, right? It's about nurturing talent. It's about building culture, creating a workplace where people can thrive and where people want to come to you every day. HR management includes planning, recruiting, selecting, training, evaluating, and, as employees, what we like to know, compensating, right? It's a continuous cycle that ensures the right people are in the right roles at the right time. HR plays a key role as organizations grow and how they multiply. So let's begin with how companies plan for their workforce needs. Before hiring, companies must understand what roles are needed, right? A job analysis defines the skills, the tasks, while forecasting predicts future needs. This strategic planning helps align people with a purpose, right? You don't want to bring on somebody into a role unless you know that you're going to need them strategically in the future. Once the plan is in place, it's time to find the right candidates. And there are many ways of doing this, but it all just centers around recruiting, right? And that is involved attracting applicants, both internally and externally, and then selecting that person. And selecting, you know, goes through interviews, you know, maybe tests, maybe background checks to ensure all of the best fit, you know, personality tests. There's all kinds of different things that companies use nowadays during their selection process. But once that person is selected and they are hired on, the next step is helping that employee grow, right? Most companies out there nowadays have some kind of training that equips employees with the skills that they need to succeed in that specific company, right? I've been in project management and business management for a long time, but what I've learned is that most organizations do things a little bit different. And so some type of training is going to be required if you want that employee to be successful in your business. This development prepares them for not only this role, but future roles. And this can be done on the job. It can be done online. I believe that learning is a lifelong journey, right? It should never stop. But after you've done all this, how do we measure that success? How do we make sure that the person we've brought on is meeting our expectation? And that's where performance evaluations come in, right? Performance appraisals compare actual results with the expectations that we gave them. That's why expectations is so important. They guide promotions, training needs, and compensation discussions when you match the expectations with the actual results. Speaking of rewards, let's talk about compensation, right? People trade their time for some kind of compensation as an employee, right? Along with their skills and their talent, Their most valuable asset is their time, right? So compensation includes direct pay and indirect benefits. Fair and competitive pay attracts and retains talent. Benefits like healthcare and retirement plans show employees they are valued and are becoming a necessary ingredient in compensation that is provided by companies. In some workplaces, employees are represented by unions, right? So they already have specific requirements set in place by that union that says you're going to compensate the employee based on this, and this is all the benefits that they get. So there's really not a whole lot of negotiating with individual employees. You negotiate with the union. So let's explore a little bit about labor relations. So labor unions negotiate on behalf of employees for better wages, benefits, and working conditions. This collective bargaining is the process of reaching agreements between unions and companies, and they are very important. Finally, let's look at the legal and ethical framework that governs HR practices. These include laws like the Civil Rights Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. These protect workers' rights, right? This, along with trends in diversity, equity, inclusion, remote work, and the gig economy are just reshaping some of the strategies and some of the legal frameworks that HR has to navigate as they help lead organizations into the future. So let's wrap up with a reflection on the value of people in a business. As I mentioned, people are not just resources. They are the reason businesses exist. When we honor, equip, and empower people, we build an organization that reflects God's love and justice. Thank you for joining me. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'm excited as you dive into this. God bless.